If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Chris Dietert's joining us. He's the president of marketing and PR of Influential. Pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
So what's your company doing? I know you guys work with 10,000 influencers.
Yeah, so we have a network of 10,000 influencers that are all onboarded onto an app. We're a leading data influencer technology. But basically what we do is we reach huge audiences. We're an amplification tool.
Like 5 billion people between all your 10,000 followers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's mind-numbing.
So that's why the company's coming to you guys, because you got the access.
Yep, absolutely. And it's something that's it's built really quickly. We've done this in a matter of 3 to 4 years, which is wild because I've had previous businesses for 10 plus years and, you know, things move along incrementally. Now it's like every single week you're like, who is that in the office? It's like, oh, it's a new employee. Yeah. We have 95 employees right now.
I think that's wild. Which is insane.
Yeah.
I think the key point there, though, is that it took those 10 years in your other business to get to the place where now you can do it in 3 years, 4 years. What do you think has been the key to your success, though? 10,000 influencers, the biggest ones in the world on your platform. You got Fortune 500 companies hiring you. You said you got 95 employees already. You don't even know who's in the office anymore. It's growing so fast. What do you think's been the key to that success?
You know, I will say unequivocally, my younger brother, Ryan, identified the influencer space in an amazing way. And he got together with a technical team that put together an amazing platform to facilitate all of this. I had my hand in it in the sense of my own expertise, which was PR and marketing. I had a PR company for 10 years called American Rebel PR. We did lifestyle and fashion PR for a wide variety of brands, everybody from deer foam slippers to John Deere tractors. We did some of their clothing stuff to Fender guitars. I had some crazy experiences during that time. I created a clothing line with Scott Weiland, the lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots, who recently passed, which was an amazing experience because that was like my childhood idol growing up. So,
that's so cool.
To get to actually sit at fashion shows with him and then actually curate our own fashion shows and, you know, fly around the country and do rock show / fashion shows was like the coolest thing in the world to me. During that time, I also got to be a part of a television show with Dee Snider of Twisted Sister. I was going to an MTV show with him and his son, where his son was starring on, called Rock the Cradle, that was all about young children of celebrities wanting to be rock stars themselves. And every time we would go out to dinner afterwards, and I would listen to them talk about how they were supposed to be the next Osbournes and that things just didn't work out for them. And me and a friend put our heads together and we're like, you know, I think we could try to make this work. And so we came up with a treatment and we, you know, pitched it to a production company and ended up getting it sold. And, you know, my first ever attempt at writing a television show ended up on national television on A&E. So, and I got a production credit out of that. So,
that's so cool.
You know, that was a really cool experience. And it was completely divergent from what I was doing at the time, but I think all of these relationships in the PR and marketing industries opened up amazing and crazy doors for me to be able to
leverage those now.
Exactly. And so I did that for almost 10 years, and, you know, with the economy crashing in 2008, marketing and PR became a very difficult thing to do as a standalone business. And
people were like, I don't even have money to pay the bills. How
exactly.
am I going to
get
to marketing, which is the one thing they should be doing. But
exactly. And people just don't realize that sometimes. And when I started the company in 05, 06, I was getting $10,000 retainers from clients where they're giving me money every month just to get them publicity. And then 2008 comes around and people are like, oh, what can you do for like $2,000 or $3,000? And they'd actually expect you to do more than what you were doing for
$10,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can't do much more for you. So after doing that for a long time, I saw sort of a change happening in the marketing and PR industry, and a lot of it was centered around social media. And so I saw what my brother was doing, and it was really exciting. And I came to him with an idea to kind of bring social to life through an event series we called the Influential House. And so we did our first one in 2014 at Coachella. And this was, you know, at a very much an infancy state of the social media landscape. And because of that, we were able to attract all of the biggest stars of social media. In fact, there was a 60 Minutes piece that aired about a month ago about the top social influencers. All of them were at our first event, which is absolutely wild.
It's so cool to see how you guys have grown. And hearing your story reminds me of why I became an entrepreneur, because of the risk, the adventure, and the reward. We've got the president of marketing and PR of Influential, Chris Dieterts, joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. For the people out there, though, right, I was just saying how you inspire me and remind me why I became an entrepreneur, because how fun the journey can be, and you never know where you can end up. And you got to meet one of your, like, idols growing up and work with him. But there's a lot of people out there, though, that haven't cut the cord from their job yet, and they're never going to experience what you just shared with us on your journey and where you are now until they cut the cord. So what's your advice for them? When's the right time? How can they do it? How can they be prepared?
You know, it's hard to say. If every single person is different. And there's ways you can build bridges to things. I don't think that, you know, walking out like Jerry Maguire and, you know, leaving your office and starting off as an entrepreneur is probably the best way to do it. It's to find your passion and then build a bridge to it. Take gradual steps. Meet with people. Use your off work time to build your passion and create a strong enough safety net so that when you're ready to jump, you can jump with some peace of mind. It's always going to be a risk. The whole world of being an entrepreneur, as you know, is a very risky and scary thing. But, you know, without great risk doesn't come great reward. You know,
I agree, brother. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people have jobs they love and they really want to be an entrepreneur. That makes it tough. But there's people that hate their jobs. That makes it easier. Did you ever have a job that you hated that made you want to become an entrepreneur?
You know, I've been relatively lucky. I haven't had awful, awful jobs. I did have a job when I first got out of college at a company called The Firm. It was a top entertainment management company of its time. And I loved so much of the experience. We were working with the biggest bands and actors, and the cool stuff that I saw on a daily basis was amazing. But I had a boss that was just, if you've ever seen the Kevin Spacey movie Swimming with Sharks, I had the Swimming with Sharks sort of boss that actually made me cry in, you know, working his desk, and he would yell at me and take out his aggression on me all the time. And I didn't even understand why. And in retrospect, I know that, you know, he had his own issues and it wasn't about what I was doing. But there's those experiences sometimes where you just have an awful boss who browbeats you for everything that you do. And you're sort of afraid to move left or right because you just feel like it's going to get your head bit off.
Well, sometimes people have, you know, bosses that they hate. Yeah. You said you got to grow up meeting one of your favorite idols. Who was one of your favorite superheroes growing up?
My favorite superhero growing up? You know, I would say probably Superman. I feel like it's pretty standard.
Pretty standard, yeah.
But I remember watching the Christopher Reeves movies when I was young, and he just seemed like he, like, really had it together.
Yeah. Well, do you feel like you have a quality or a trait that resembles Superman that you use in entrepreneurship?
You know, I think my ability to write is sort of my superpower. You know, sometimes when I'm either upset about something or really want to get a point across, rather than calling somebody or trying to, you know, give it to somebody verbally, I like to kind of hop behind the computer and really craft something and be very careful and thought out and, you know, present it in a way that really makes people think and respect you.
I love that. Respect's the important part, right?
Absolutely.
So you've been in business as an entrepreneur for 15 years. Some people have been in business for 30 years, haven't achieved the success you have, and some people are just getting started. So with your wisdom and expertise, what do you feel like three things that all beginning entrepreneurs need to be aware of?
Okay. Well, the first thing is you have to work tirelessly. Like there's no...
Sounds so fun.
Yeah, right? Yeah. There's no off hours when you're an entrepreneur. You know, the only person that you're cheating is yourself. So you have to work as hard as possible. You have to pick something that you're absolutely passionate about. You know, your work has to be your pleasure and vice versa. If you're not doing that, you know, I remember seeing a feature that Chris Rock did in one of his stand-ups, and it was like the difference between having a job and having a career. And you want to have a career, you don't want to have a job. And then the third thing is just being able to, you know, be able to move and flex with the times. Like as an entrepreneur, things are going to constantly come up. You're going to have to iterate your product in different ways. You're going to have to figure out ways to do things differently. Technology these days is moving so fast, and if you don't constantly change with it, you can quickly lose your way.
That's the one thing that's guaranteed, right? In life and in business, everything's going to keep changing, so you got to keep your ear on the railroad. If you had to start over, though, right? I mean, your business sounds awesome, what you guys are doing, but I'm curious. If you had to start over, if you just lost it all, what would you get into? What industry? What space?
Oh man, I would have a hard time leaving the social media and
you want to jump straight back in
marketing.
There's no
space.
Other industries exciting.
Yeah,
I
don't know, man. I feel like I'm so ingrained in what I do, and it's what I love. So finding something new would be bizarre to me at this point.
We'll be right back with Chris Dieter to peel back the layers on a company and find out why it's so successful. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. So you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at Business Rockstars. Rockstars.com.
It's Jeff from Cat Spot Litter. If you own a cat, you know how much of a hassle it is buying that heavy, dusty clay litter at the store every couple weeks. Are you ready to save time and money? Well, listen up. I've invented a new cat litter that is lightweight, dust-free, and made from 100% real coconut. It's called Cat Spot Litter. There ain't nothing better at zapping cat urine smells either. The best part, for only $15, we ship a 30-day supply right to your front door. Shoot, we even offer a money-back guarantee. Jump on the coconut bandwagon and get rid of that toxic clumping clay litter. Start thinking healthy for you, your cat, and our planet. Go to catspotlitter.com and give it a try. Use promo code SAVE for 15% off your first order. Hey, I appreciate you listening.
During Mental Health Month this May, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is encouraging everyone to create a positive conversation about mental health so that people are more willing to reach out and get the care they need to live a healthier and happier life. VA Director of Innovation and Collaboration for the Office of Mental Health and Suicide Prevention, Dr. Wendy Tenhula.
Mental Health Month is an opportunity for us to educate everyone about mental health conditions and about treatments that are available. It's important for people to know that there are different treatment options available, that they really can help, and that they can lead to significant improvements in people's quality of life. For the month of May, VA has launched a campaign, Mental Health Means a Stronger You, to focus on that connection between reaching out for support and the positive outcomes that can result from that. Together, we can change the conversation and change how people view and respond to mental health conditions, not just for veterans, but for our entire country.
Visit MakeTheConnection.net to learn more.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity.
Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Black. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Chris Dieter is joining us. He's the president of marketing and PR of Influential. Recap first your company, brother.
Sure. So our company, Influential, is a data-first influencer platform. We have a network of 10,000 influencers that have all opted onto our system, and we are basically a conduit between Fortune 100 brands and the world's biggest influencers to run campaigns.
So I definitely want to talk about what the heck has been the key to your success in getting the 10,000 influencers and then also connecting them with the Fortune 100s.
Yeah.
But before we do that, you're in a space that's not only trending, but it's very noisy. There's a lot of people that say they can connect you with the influencers, and that's what their business does, and they connect them with, you know, the companies, the big companies out there like you guys do. What makes you different? What makes you better?
Our unequivocal separation from the rest of the industry is our data-first approach. We are all about creating the most relevant partnerships through data and technology. We've created a partnership with IBM Watson. They are a developer partner of ours, and we can actually use personality traits to identify the most ideal influencers for a campaign. This is really some big data sort of stuff. We can take the last 22,000 words that any influencer has spoken socially through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we can extrapolate that into 52 different personality characteristics to find out if they're altruistic, if they're hedonistic, if they're heartfelt, if they're the hero, all of these traits. And what we can do is we can also run the same sort of stuff on brands, and we can find out what the archetype of a brand is and match that up on a scale of 1 to 100 with influencers and brands to find the most ideal match between brands and influencers.
I love it. I see why you get the big companies. Because at the end of the day, right, the Fortune 100s, the reason why they're Fortune 100s is because they base their decisions off of data.
Absolutely.
Metrics and analytics are what drive success. If you know what you're doing with those numbers, of course, you guys obviously do, and you base basically the ability to match these people with the companies together by data. I love that. I think a lot of companies aren't doing that. They just kind of go, oh, you need an influencer. We'll connect you with some of them. So I loved your response. You guys have not only raised money, but you've grown a team to 95 people, and it keeps growing faster and faster every week. So my question is, what's been the key to your success? Not only in getting 10,000 influencers, not only matching them with Fortune 100 and somehow getting them to be your clients, but getting a team of 95 people, those are some hard things to do. What's been the key to your success?
Absolutely. Well, we have a great operations team that has been very, very staid in their approach to finding the best talent out there. We have offices in Beverly Hills, Las Vegas, and New York City, so that can be challenging. But we've managed in Las Vegas to find a team of developers that's second to none. You would think you'd have to go to Silicon Valley for that. Lo and behold, there's amazing talent that exists out out there in other places. And Las
Not
Vegas
everybody is, wants to live in Silicon Valley.
Exactly. So. And if we don't find them in Las Vegas, there's a lot of people nationwide that Las Vegas is actually very appealing to. You know, the cost of living there is relatively low. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of entertainment value there. There's a great culture bubbling up there. So, you know, finding a great team out there. And then, you know, in the Los Angeles, Beverly Hills office, we're a lot more sales, creative, marketing sort of focused. Obviously, there's a lot of that talent out here in this area. What's been great is that we have such a compelling platform and such a cool way that we work that, you know, in the beginning days, obviously, it took a lot of, you know, putting ads out and finding the right people. But these days, it's sort of, we've hit that critical mass where people are coming to us all the time now and want to work for us. And so it gives us the ability to find the best and brightest minds, which is really exciting.
That's the best point in the business, right? Is mm-hmm. when the people, not only the people that you want to hire are coming to you and knocking on your door and submitting resumes, but also when the clients are hearing great things about you and the clients are inbound requests as well. Mm-hmm. You had to raise money.
Yep.
I think a big trend right now, there's freaking TV shows about There's so many online platforms raising money.
Yeah.
It's a trend. You guys had to do it to grow your business.
Absolutely.
Can we talk about how much money you guys raised and what was the process of not only getting the funds but allocating them?
Yeah, we've raised $14 million to date.
Wow.
We've almost been in a perpetual state of funding. It's wild because we have a very profitable business. We do very well. But in growing a technology company especially, it's always important to have capital. And we want to scale this up in a very quick fashion. So, you know, we've done a seed round of funding, then we did a Series A, and next year we're planning a Series B round of funding. So, you know, we always have to think in that mindset. And, you know, taking that money and putting it to the best use is obviously key. You know, technology development is paramount for us. You know, we're in the technology business, so we got to constantly iterate and constantly do things better than most or better than everybody if we're gonna be the big winners in the end. And so, it really takes that level of focus and really going after that level of talent in the technology realm to you know, to continue to iterate and successfully move ahead.
You got to be able to allocate the funds not only to grow the team but also, like you said, right in your space especially, figure out what the new technologies is. And if they don't have it, you guys need to develop it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the president of marketing and PR of Influential joining us, Chris Dietert. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Let's talk about the leader. At the end of the day, when you're raising money, they're investing in the leader. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many examples of where it's like the product, the idea, none of that really matters if it doesn't have a great leader to execute it, build a team. What do you feel like between you and your brother, the two guys leading this, what do you think your attributes and traits are that the people said, we believe in you, here's $14 million?
Yeah. I mean, it's flattering to even think that. I would be remiss if I didn't say that this was a lot bigger than me and my brother. We have an amazing COO, Dan Steele. We have an amazing Chief Technology Officer, Peter Tomasik. And we have a great CRO in Chris Poydenis. And all of us put our heads together all the time to figure out ways to do things better, to be more effective. It's a real serious team effort, and it's amazing to have an inspiring team around you.
Well, when you're building a team, the one thing that every business says is the culture from five people is different than 10, is different than 20, 50, 100, 1,000, et cetera. So how are you maintaining a great company culture as you go from when you had just five people, now you have 95 people? How are you maintaining a cool company culture? What are you guys doing?
We always try to keep it fun. We're a very informal company. You're never going to walk in and see a bunch of suits. You know,
so what you're wearing right now?
Yeah, exactly. This is my go-to. Yeah, exactly. It's a t-shirt and jeans sort
That's the trend now, though. Everyone's keeping it casual. You
exactly.
Know?
I mean, you're seeing all the best companies in the world, the ones that over and over win all of the awards, the Googles and the Facebooks. It's creating an environment where people want to be at work, where you don't even want to go home. If you provide lunch for people.
I don't change out of my clothes when I go home.
Right? Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
I'm already in my clothes.
Yeah, sometimes we'll have like happy hour type of situations. Yeah. If we can bring in, you know, we're talking about bringing in a band to come and play, you know, for our crew. And it's just ways of making things fun. You know, we have a very young office. I would say the core of our group is a bunch of 20-somethings. And if we don't make it a fun environment that they want to come to every single day, then we're doing ourselves a service.
I love that, brother. You remind me of an old saying one of my mentors taught me.
Yeah.
Don't just make a dollar, make a difference. And you guys are doing that. Pleasure having you on the show, brother.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. So you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This is your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by ASUS.
We've all been there, trying to figure out what to make for dinner. Wouldn't it be great to have some help from your fridge? That's the idea behind the new line of JennAir fridges, where the JennAir app works with Yumly, a recipe app, to help you figure out what's for dinner. John Hall from JennAir explains.
Yumly is part of the backbone that drives this food journey integration. So we've got inside the JennAir app, you'll be able to take a picture inside of your refrigerator and it'll recommend recipes based on the contents in there and start to bring you through that food coordination process and sending the cooking algorithms to our speed ovens or our commercial ranges. So really a great offering of kind of food journey.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. If you want to buy a home, we could help you get a great mortgage that may require as little as 3% down. And we also invented Rocket Mortgage. It gives you a solid approval in as few as 8 minutes. And for 8 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call America's largest mortgage lender at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records, call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Results may vary.
Whether you travel for business, vacations, weekend breakaways, romantic interludes, or family adventures, you'll learn about unique destinations and tips to make your travel smooth, efficient, hassle-free, and inspirational when you listen to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Enjoy our fast-paced show, traveling from beaches to mountaintops, cities to fairy tale castles, whether you're traveling for business or adventure. So pack your bags and join us.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Gregory McCallion's joining us right now. He's the CEO and founder of ForkSpot. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
It's great to be here, Mark.
So ForkSpot, what do you guys do? We're going to show your little technology device in a minute.
Absolutely. ForkSpot is a mobile app which basically gives you discounts every time you walk into bars, restaurants, and coffee shops.
Okay, so I walk into a restaurant.
Right.
And the little device we're going to show in a second, if I have your app, ForkSpot, pushes a notification to me that gives me a discount or something like that?
Right. Even if the app is closed, it's killed. You walk into the restaurant, we look up something called UDID, and we find the restaurant, and we will basically push the notification about that discount instantly on your phone.
Who doesn't want the discounts anyway? So it should be on already.
Yeah, it's
always
a surprise.
But I love that you put that in there just in case. My question for you is, how'd you get into this spot? You, somebody who's always been, you know, in love with food and or coupons or optimizing the two?
I am kind of a foodie, and okay. I've been in tech for 14 years.
Wow. I've
done numerous projects and, okay. you know, different startups. But the way I came up with ForkSpot is that I was actually having a sushi one day at a local restaurant. And I liked the food. I liked the restaurant and the yeah. service. I came out and I decided to leave a review. So I went on
a good review or bad review?
No, it was a great review. Okay. I wanted to leave a great review. So I went out and I just searched on Yelp, and while I was searching, and I found that there was a 30% discount for the food I just had. It's kind of disappointing. I said, listen, like, why can't we make an app which will give you first I try to find an app which would give me a notification every time there is a discount.
And there's a billion apps out there and there wasn't one?
None of them were literally telling you all kinds of things besides instant notifications about discounts. So, after searching for a while, I realized that, I have to basically build this app. And I started doing my research.
You're like, I need my darn coupon discount
right,
when I
exactly.
go get sushi.
Right.
So you built this thing.
Yes, absolutely. It took me a while.
You built it yourself?
No, I have engineers.
Okay.
I managed the whole project. But, first we went into a very, very deep research to find out why there is nothing like this.
It's probably somebody. Maybe other companies did it and they failed. Could you learn from them?
Absolutely. What we thought, we get this a lot from investors and partners, and we thought that probably people know something that we don't know. And we want to find what is it that we don't know. And after doing a lot of research, we wanted to validate the idea on a massive scale. But how do you validate an idea on a massive scale?
Through a test or market research.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we couldn't find a research company that actually questioned 2,000 price-sensitive restaurant visitors. So we literally had only one way of doing it, and that way was
going door to door.
Not really. Why do you want to go to doors if you can have people come to you? And what do? I signed up for a Lyft driver. And I went out there, I gave rides to 1,500 people, drove 22,000 miles, and I asked 1,500 people I asked 14 questions on average.
So you became like an undercover Lyft driver just for research.
You can say that, yeah. At the same time, I was making money because at that time, we already kind of raised capital, and I didn't want to leave off, the capital raised from friends and family, and I decided, why not? It's two birds with one shot. You make money, you do the research, you validate your idea, then stop doing it and go into the business.
So I love that. This guy just jumps in the lift. He's like, I'm going to go and do it myself. People are going to pay me to get my market research.
Exactly.
Right.
I was getting paid to actually know their opinion. Because they're my passengers. What are you going to do? Step out? Absolutely not. You're going to answer my questions.
I would answer if you were driving me around. I'd be like, this guy really wants my feedback. I'm going to give it to him. How cool is that?
Yeah.
So tell me more about your background. You said you were in the tech space and engineering for 14 years?
Yeah, I have a Bachelor's of Science in Network and Communications Management, but I've been in projects and development since 2001, I would say. I've developed numerous projects for many clients and people.
Very exciting. Did you not enjoy it and that's what led you into your own businesses? I want to know what was the shift, because most people think that going from having a job, that whether you like it or not, right, you're still building somebody else's asset. You might get great pay, you might get great benefits, but you're still building somebody else's asset. And maybe it's not in the lifestyle that you want. Like, that's two reasons you start your own business typically is because you want a lifestyle business to fund the lifestyle you want for you, your family, whatever. And the other one is you create a business with the intention of maybe getting acquired or selling it. And so it sounds like you decided to quit your job to start a business. My question is this a lifestyle business or a business you're building to get acquired and sell?
It's a business to get acquired, in my opinion. I mean, it's a business which will grow. It will grow into numerous marketplaces. And,
this is a business that should get acquired by Yelp.
For sure.
Maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of different potential businesses, but
maybe.
Yelp, competitors, for sure. Yeah, Yelp is somebody that could potentially. Yeah,
somebody in food tech business.
Yeah, they could bolt this thing right on there.
Maybe.
My question is, you're going and you're getting these restaurants. Mm-hmm. What does that conversation look like? Is it an instant yes? Is it skepticism? How are you acquiring customers?
I wish. It's not like that. The finding restaurant owners is a challenge.
They're usually not very, and I mean this with love and respect, from I used to do door-to-door going to restaurants for a business that I was a part of, and they're usually not the most well-educated on the business side of things, and they're usually already, they've already been pitched a lot of the times on all these different coupons and Yelps and this, and so they're usually very skeptical as well. And so, what's your experience?
My experience, first, I actually sold to first 23 restaurants before actually hiring a sales team and boots on the ground and having.
So you had the experience of doing
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I went myself and I sold to 23.
Of course you did. You're gonna drive lifts.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to do it in the hard way. If you don't know how to sell to your own restaurant, like if you don't know how to sell to restaurants, you will never be able to train your employees how to sell properly to those restaurants, because restaurant owners are very conservative people. I mean, I have seen a rocket scientist who owns a restaurant. I mean, they're not,
that's
it's
rare.
Not, yeah, I mean, yeah, it could be, but I'll tell you what, the hardest part is to actually find them. They're not usually there, and it was a challenge. Yeah, absolutely. Restaurant owners show up after afternoon, sometimes after 5, after 3. So in the beginning, it was a little hard because we didn't know. We learned that, you know, some restaurant owners decide to show up twice a week after 5 p.m. So,
yeah. Well, I love that about you is you're willing to jump in the lift to get your research.
Yeah,
get
the
some
hard
money.
Way. Yeah.
You're willing to go door to door. We've got the CEO and founder who's a hustler from ForkSpot. His name is Gregory McCallion. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. And we're here to inspire, inform, and connect community of entrepreneurs. I want to know, on your journey, you've had some failures, you've had some successes. My question is, what's been one of the biggest lessons you've learned so far as an entrepreneur?
As an entrepreneur, the biggest lesson I've learned is that you have to take an extra step to validate your idea. You have to basically go the hard way to make sure that it's not that your mom tells you that your idea is great and you have to jump in there, invest your capital or your friends and family's capital into the business. For example, for me, it was really hard. I had to go the hard way to question 1,500 people whether they like my idea. And when you get 90% and over, you know, percentage of people actually liking your idea, that's what I call validation.
You had to not only get people, though, in the context of just broad, you had to get the customer, the consumer, interested in validation from them, which you did through doing Lyft driving and interviewing 1,500 people.
Right.
But you had to get it from the restaurant people as well. You have to get them to agree to put this thing in their restaurant.
Sure.
So you had to get it from both. Validation for both. Mm-hmm. What lessons do you have for the entrepreneurs out there that are saying, I want to start a business, I got this product, I've got this idea, I don't know maybe how to get the money or stuff, but if I had the validation from market research, sometimes you can use Kickstarter, Indiegogo, these crowdfunding campaigns to get validation. What's your advice, though? What's the way somebody can get validation for their idea?
My advice is actually go there personally, talk to your future customers. If you find, first of all, identify your future customers. Try to find masses. Don't ask just one person or two. Try to do a research by posting a poll on your Facebook page, going out there, literally talking to people on that will be your customers in the future, and get as many people as possible, because if you get a massive validation of your idea, these are the people that will be using and consuming or using your product in the future. So it is very important to actually know your customers, know their intentions, know their actually whether they're going to be using your product in the future, and get the exact validation you can actually get. I don't care how much time it takes you, how much money it takes you, or how much time or whatever it takes you, efforts, do it. Because it will eventually tell you whether the product you're going to spend days and nights and weekends building, whether it's going to be used by consumers or not. Because the competition is very harsh these days. So you better build something better than somebody else.
Usually your idea or your product is validated in the direct result of your sales. And, you know, if you don't have good sales, it's either because your product, the demand that isn't there, the idea wasn't validated, or you just have terrible marketing. Sometimes people have a great product, but their marketing sucks.
There are numerous reasons why you're not able to sell your product. I mean, you could either have a bad product, or you could have a great product and you have bad sales skills.
Exactly.
To be a successful entrepreneur, you better have all of them. I mean, you have to know how to sell your product.
100% true. If you want to be successful in entrepreneurship, either you better be good at sales, or you better find somebody to support you in that. So if somebody's out there and they're saying, I want to download this app, and if maybe there's a business person out there saying, I want to get a hold of one of these things, or I know somebody who should get a hold of this, where can they get more information about you? You have a website?
They can go on Forkspot.com. They can search Forkspot on Google, go on App Store, the iOS, iTunes, and Google Play, and they can download our app.
Fantastic. Yeah. I appreciate you coming on the show, brother.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We connect a community of entrepreneurs. So you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
You could probably think of an infinite number of excuses for why starting up now is not ideal. I'm here to give you a few reasons why now actually is the perfect time to start up. I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, don't regret not starting up. All of us have regrets in life. We look back at moments where we wish we could have made a different decision. But eventually, ambitious and active people realize that regret is weighing them down. Remember, you won't regret taking the wrong action as much as you'll regret not taking any action at all. Number two, you owe it to your idea. Often entrepreneurs have a great idea that can truly impact the world in a positive way. If you're hesitant to take the plunge, consider the power and the potential of your idea. Consider the mark you can make on society. Innovation and creativity are the catalyst for progress, and throughout the ages, entrepreneurial minds have shaped the world. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter Rockstar in the referral box at...
Attention, are you moving soon and don't know who to turn to? If you are moving or planning to move long distance or across the country, Moving APT is offering up to a 20% discount for radio callers this month. Let us handle and remove all the pain and stress in a long-distance move. Let Moving APT help you with your all-inclusive move, including packaging services, help with washers and dryers, mounted TVs, bed frames, and more. We can include packing and unpacking services or ask for boxes, tape, bubble wrap, or labels. We also disassemble and reassemble appliances and TVs at your new home. Moving is difficult and stressful, so call Moving APT today to find the most professional movers to support you. If you are looking for a low-cost quote to move long distance or across the country, call us now. Call 800-716-0362. 800-716-0362. Get a guaranteed quote with up to 20% off. 800-716-0362.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. 800-670-2142. That's 800-670-2142.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
How can consultative selling help you grow your business? Terry Wilson's joining us to answer that question. She's the CEO of I Done This. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So break it down for us. Consultative selling, what is it?
All right. So consultative selling is really talking to your customers and finding their pain point. A lot of people don't like being sold to. They think of the used car salesman. Yeah. And that, but people like to buy. Yeah. And that's really what's going to help you. And so finding out where that pain point is versus even being a vitamin. We want to talk to our customers, find out how their teams operate, find out how their team is motivated. Mm-hmm. And then we're able to have a prescription based on our customers already, how to use I Done This and how to solve that issue that they're facing, or even just improve their communication if it's not currently a pain.
So a company comes to you, and instead of being like, hey, look, it doesn't matter what business you're in, this will help you be more efficient and effective. All your team should be using it. Look at the people that we've had use this. Here's the benefits they've had. You guys ready to buy? You take a different approach to it, and you take time to ask more about what's their company going through? What's their, you know, vision for the company? What are they trying to do in the world? What's their product or service? So you really take the time to diagnose and understand them?
We absolutely do. And that's one of the reasons that you're going to get a phone call from us. You're not just going to get drip campaigns that everyone does, and you know they're automated, and you know they don't really mean anything. It means that we have people who spend a bit of time looking up your company, finding out where you're in, call you, and then they're able to set up a demo to be able to walk you through our very simple product, but really find out how you want to use it, how your team needs I Done This.
Okay, so did you have an experience either as a consumer or in business where you were doing the old version versus consultative selling, which is sort of like the new way people like to at least engage with human beings? Because it's not even the new way people like to be sold, because you don't feel like you're being sold. But do you have an example of where you maybe made the mistake of the old way before you started doing this?
Yes.
Or that you've been sold this way and didn't like it.
Yeah. So, you know, looking for a home and, you know, real estate agent, there's only one reason that they're there, and they just want you to buy. Yeah. And really, you know, this is potentially the biggest decision you have to make with your own personal finances. And having someone who just wants you to close a deal and doesn't care whether it's this quarter or next quarter, it has to be now. I really didn't enjoy that experience. I felt like it was someone who knew an industry that I didn't know, and I wanted him to be able to teach me about that and be able to share where the market was. I didn't want to have to go do all my own research. It's what I ended up doing. But we have people who follow the Harvard Business Study of the Progress Principle. possible. And you're able to share that with you, maybe start with a manager and then share with your teammates. Or a lot of our most successful teams actually have an individual, so it's a grassroots, who uses I Done This as a personal side. LinkedIn, for example, he tracked his home maintenance for years. Then he was our insider. He was our own consultative sales within LinkedIn because he knew the value. And then we're able to partner him with some of our customer service representatives and really be able to widen that footprint.
So what do you feel like are some of the basic things if somebody says, hey, I want to start, you know, implementing consultative selling in my business, or maybe I'm a sales professional and I want to take some things away from this. What are some of the basic steps for shifting away from maybe what people are normally used to doing for selling versus consultative selling?
So one thing is become an expert in your field. You really need to have teammates and resources to learn about that. For us, onboarding new teammates includes more reading and more listening than anything else. It's not just about learning our product. It's not just about learning the names of all our teammates, which is very critical, but really engaging in what is going to make team communication, happiness, and engagement improve. Going through some of our case studies for our more successful users. Twitter is a big user of ours. And within their I Done This stream, it actually looks like a social media stream in and of itself with all these likes and comments. And so they're able to absorb that and share that. And we do support later down the road. We even do outreach by our customer success team. So if we might see your team drops off, we go, okay, you know, we're going to give you a couple tips and tricks to get your team back engaged. And really, it doesn't end at the sell. Consultative sales goes through your whole lifespan.
So the other thing about consultative selling is it doesn't have to just be when you're over the phone talking to somebody. Consultative selling or informative selling is essentially putting great content out on the internet and creating inbound requests. So just as you might diagnose somebody over the phone, instead, if you can take case studies or if you can really tap into the story going on in somebody's mind about their pains, fears, struggles, and frustrations around their business or their goals, then what you can do is essentially through giving them the same content you might over the phone, you can give this to them in articles, get them published in big publications like Forbes and Inc. and Entrepreneur, and then target your exact target audience to that, you know, article that has a catchy headline, and then essentially solve one of their problems in a short format via, you know,
I think that's a great example. So we have a wide range. We actually started out really focused on software developers, agile process management, where it's taking the daily stand up and moving it to the cloud. And so the developers, they're not going to give us their phone number, much less talk to us. Yeah. And as we, you know, widen our range of customers, they are more willing to take phone calls. But we need to be able to provide this expertise and knowledge to wherever our customers are. So that includes some of our 5 ebooks that we have published, our blog content, our social media, and everything else that we can do just to reach the customers and educate them about this space. You'll notice our blog is not about I Done This. Our blog is about remote teams. Our blog is about team engagement, becoming a manager, all of those. Every once in a while, we slide in a new feature, but really the content drives what the blog is all about.
Yeah, and ultimately at the end of the day, where is the feedback coming from your customers? And if you're doing enough research, you can find out here's their pains, fears, struggles, and frustrations. Then from that, you can tailor your content. And then from that, you can tailor up to how to, you know, basically innovate and create new products and services. Would you agree that if you get lots of market feedback, you can create content that solves their problems, and then that content can create inbound requests to your products and services?
Absolutely. And you're always A/B testing everything. So we're always going to track and see whether particular content resonated better or not. You know, look at our read times on our blog, and really we've just reviewed, you know, some of our best blog posts from 2016 and the years previous, and we're actually renovating those, bringing them up to date, making sure the stats are still accurate, or sharing some new learnings with that.
That's fantastic. You got to always go back, you got to always tweak and improve what's already working. Terry,
thank you very much.
Thanks. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, or online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Williams Paisley. When my mother was diagnosed with dementia, we didn't know where to turn. For my family, the decision to move her into long-term care was heart-wrenching. From the start, I wish we'd known about the...
Biz Talk Radio,